Good afternoon. So, as I'm formulating the next step of what we're called to do, God has begun to show some things to me. Well, let me phrase that clearer. God is beginning to reshow some steps to me. How many of you understand reshow? How many times God has spoken to you and you got off onto this and onto that, and maybe he means that, and 4 or 5 years down the line, God brings you back and he just begins to re-show you. It's the same thing I told you 15 years ago. You're now back again. And so here I am repeating what I originally said. What I love about God is, even if we forget or we try to alter the plan or twist his words and make him say something else, when we get still and we get quiet, he goes right back to, no, what I said before is what I meant. And I was sitting there, this magazine came out and they did a feature on me. And like, it's a bunch of pictures. I'm looking at the pictures, I'm looking at this, and I'm in awe of this. I think I'm pretty sure I've had pictures in. I'm sure this is my first magazine feature. I'm very sure it is. And then I started thinking about Sherry and all her modeling things and in the magazine she's been in and this cover now and that one and all these things. And I remember going, thinking about it, that word was spoken over Sherry in JCMI when she was in her 20s. We talking about decades, a couple of decades. I don't want to make you sound old, Sherry. We talking about a while back. God spoke this, but she was like right out of college. And I remember looking at me like I had two heads when I said it, but the word was spoken and forgotten and moved on to other things. And all of a sudden, here we go. Here we go. We're back to God speaking his word and confirming his word once we get still enough to let him do what he wants to do. The key to all of that for me goes back to what the last week's message was. Oh, how much he loves us. That no matter how long, be it years, be it decades, we put off doing what he's told us to do or get caught up in other things or give up. And we don't say we give up, but we start doing something else because God can't still want to do that. So maybe he wants me to have this job in transit so I can minister to all the people in transit. And I'm not trying to make fun of transit. I'm just trying to say this is the kind of stuff we start doing when we don't see things going the way we think they should go. We start then, compiling. Maybe when he said transit, I mean, maybe when he said ministry, what he meant was ministry there, and then when we finally get still or get frustrated and we get back before God, he said, no, the thing I said to you originally is what I meant. I meant ministry. And if you had asked me how, I would have told you, I don't need you to keep summarizing for me and making up what it might mean. Just be still and let me tell you what I'm doing. Who knows what I'm talking about? Because I believe a lot of you right now are in that place in your life where God is, you're getting tired of trying to figure out what God is saying. God has been speaking over me for over a decade, starting with my pastor. It's time for you to get out of the church building. It's time for you to get out. Been saying it for, it's been over a decade. Yeah, I called you to church planting. You need to get out of this, the four walls, and you need to get out there. Yeah, you're right, Lord. Yeah, I know. And I know that day is going to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And on and on and on it's going. And finally, for a lot of us, I know for me, I can't speak for everybody else. It takes a pandemic for God to have to sit me home and have to do it in front of a camera and a screen and say, remember what I spoke over you like 15 years ago? Yeah, it's that same word, right? Now you just found a way that you can move into it, but I called you to it and I never lost my chain of thought. You lost yours. But he loves you so much that when you come back to the place that he's called you to, he picks you up in his loving arms and he puts you right back to where he originally meant for you to be. And sometimes what's so wonderful, he picks you up, and he picks you up as if you never missed a step. He'll put you right back to where it is. If you quit on level 2 and now it's level 5 and level 6, he'll just throw you right back in level 6 and give you the grace to say, let's just pick it up here. Because the stuff I let you walk through in life still prepared you for level 6 that I'm dropping you right back into. Somebody could say, thank God for that and amen or something. Because it's awesome how much he does that we don't even know that he's doing. I'm gonna say that again. It's awesome how much he does that we don't even realize or know he's doing. And it's awesome how much he loves us that even in our disobedience, he's still finding a way to get us back to the place of obedience, to experience the greatness or the beauty or the love or the kindness that he's called us to. God doesn't want you banging your head into 50 walls. He wants you just to get to that place where you're mature enough and still enough. So what I'm asking for today, before we get back into scriptures, I'm asking for us to take a moment and think about the things that God has spoken over us, encouraging things that is about our destiny, about the life he's called us to. I want you to take a moment and think about it. And remember what it was when he said it before you stuck your hands all in it and got everybody else's spiritual opinion of it and let everybody else fondle and mess with the blessing that God has spoke over you or the direction God has spoke over you and got it all out of track and molested. And yeah, I'm using a lot of words that are not PC, but I'm using them for example because I want to shock your mind into, you know, what it's like when God gives you a vision. He gives you a dream. He gives you something for you to take care of for him, and you let everybody else start sticking in nasty, grubby, stinking hands and words all over it and getting it outside what God initially gave it to you to be. And even in that, he still loves you and keeps you, and sometimes through some circumstances that are not the most pleasing, forces you back, my God, to the place of, but this is where I called you to be. And if you really want to be here, fine. If you make up your mind that I absolutely willfully decide I don't want to go, then he'll leave you alone. He'll let you make your own choices. But if he knows your heart is ultimately to be right with him and to do what's right, and saints, that's an ongoing process. It's not a one-day thing. Are you listening to me? Not a one-day decision to be right before God. It's not a one-day decision to do right before God. That's an ongoing concept. It's an ongoing resubmission, rededication. It's getting a little bit off track. How many of you know how to ride a bike on this thing here? Let me see your hand. You know how to ride a bike. How many of you have maybe not been on a bike for the past 10 years? Okay. How many of you know when you get back on that bike, it ain't going to be as good as you used to be when you used to ride regularly? You might crash into a couple of things and do some things wrong and hit some people and whatever the case may be, because your skills have gotten rusty by not being used. When you surrender an area of your life to God, if you cease to practice it, it gets rusty. It gets out of shape. You still understand the basics of the skill, but now doing it again is requiring you to have to dig. I know some of your writers, Jeff writes poetry. I'm sure, Jeff, if you don't write a poem for a year, when you pick up the pen for the first time, there's this kind of like, do I know how to, wait a minute, how did I do this? And it's that kind of, oh, once you get back into the flow of it, it's like, yeah. And if you pay close attention, you may pick up some new skills. And so I'm challenging you to say God's love keeps what he's given you, even when you drop it. He holds it for you. He preserves it for you. He wraps it up for you and keeps it real nice and clean and keeps the dust off of it. So when you're ready, he pulls that thing right out and said, this, the thing I spoke over you, yeah, you want it now? Because I'm ready to give it to you right now, and I've taken good care of it for you. And I hope that's encouraging to you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you waited. Once you line back up with the call of God or line up for the first time, it may not be a back for some of us. Once you get in his will, he keeps what he has for you. Right? Because the Bible says he keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. He's a promise keeper. He doesn't lose sight of what he said. He's not mindless to forget your good deeds. He remembers and he keeps those things intact for you. Why? Because God's first rule is that you love him and that he loves you. And Jesus said this, and this is so powerful. When he was questioned, what's the most of all the commandments? What's the most important? That man asked Jesus. And Jesus' response was very, very powerful. He said, one, that you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength, some of the translation says. Heart, soul, mind, just love God. Just love God with everything in you. And the second one is like the first, that you love your neighbor as yourself. In doing so, you have fulfilled the whole of the law. All the other commandments are covered in those two. So the fact that we don't put a lot of emphasis on the love of God, how much God loves us, thereby equipping us to love him back, thereby releasing us to do everything else he's called us to do, because in doing that, then we can love ourselves because we know we are loved, and then we can love our neighbor as ourselves because we know we are loved by God. Not I love myself. That's not self-love. That's usually insecurity trying to cover itself up under a lot of, you know, bravado, but it's not bravado. I mean, but it's not real love. So I want to just lay this foundation back again before we go on. God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And that power from knowing that you are loved will put down every fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Stop trying to not be afraid and just learn to walk in love. That love will put down the fear. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. God has given me a spirit of fear. Okay, that's nice that you're confessing that. But see, when you say no to something, you need to say yes to something else. Did you hear what I just said? It's not enough to claim a victory in one area. Well, let me rephrase that. I said it's not reasonable for us to believe for God to deliver us from something without believing for him to deliver us to something. It's not logical and it's not sensible. That if you're saying, God, deliver me from this, his question is, and deliver you to what? I see a couple of you got your face a little twisted because you're trying to figure if that's reality, what I just said. Okay, let me help you out scripturally, shall I? Sure I can, I'm good at that. So Jesus said, when the demon is cast out, finding that place empty and clean, he goes and gets seven more and returns, and the last place is worse than the first, or the end of that person worse than the first. What's he saying? When I deliver you from something, if you don't then replace it with something godly, or if you don't put me in there in some kind of way where it makes some kind of real difference, the demon comes back and sees that you've been cleaned out, but he sees that you haven't substituted that place with any new God. He got in there before. He knows where the key is hidden under the mat. He knows the combination. He knows the things he needs to do to get back in there. But this time I'm going to bring seven more because I want to make it harder to get me out next time. So when God delivers you, or when you go to God for deliverance, it is our responsibility to say, God, that door that was open, I need you to fill it. Or I need you to give me what I need to be doing now, so that that door is no longer open or empty. When the spirit comes back, it finds it full of Jesus and it knows it don't belong there. There's no empty space. What should have been there? Or what should be there? So a lot of this fear It's there because of life experiences. The enemy has found that combination. A lot of hatred, a lot of bitterness, a lot of these things I'm learning and then learning in my life is there. When I say, God, take that away, but I have to say, but then show me now how to replace that area with love. Show me how to walk in love toward that person. Are you listening to me? Don't just keep asking God to help you forgive somebody if you're not going to ask God to show you how to walk in love toward them. I'll let you just breathe that in for a few seconds. I'm learning the difficult task of saying, not only help me forgive, help me replace whatever that animosity or hurt or anguish was with love. Help me do that. Because I feel like when people do things, and God has been showing me, stop retaliating. And I can retaliate not by doing something to you. I can retaliate in my mind. I can retaliate by thinking about what I'm going to do to you or what I'm going to say the next time I see you, or just by freezing you out and just like, okay, next time you call, I'm not even going to answer that call. I'm just, you know what? I'm not even going to talk. You know, all of that kind of, I'm not even going to respond. I'm just, you know what? I'm not even going to respond. And God's like, but that's retaliatory. You're still, you're asking me to give you a peace in your heart about the situation, but you're not allowing me to change your heart to the way I want you to see the situation. Help me see them through your eyes, God. What is it that you want me to see? And sometimes God will say, I want you to see and I want you to understand that this ain't where I need you to be anymore. Or this deal you don't need to be pursuing anymore. Or this company you don't need to work for anymore. But I don't want you carrying the weight of bitterness and saltiness with you as you go. Or somebody needs to understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes people reject you as the best thing they could do for you. But now, if you let the enemy use a combination to get in and create some kind of tension, hostility between you and this person. I did an event not too long ago, and there was a person there. And that person was very, very nasty and short to me. I don't even know why. I don't know what I did to make him act like that, but he did. And now the magazine has come out and he's in this magazine with me. And I can't even enjoy my picture, the pictures that he's in. Because if I look at the picture, I'm thinking about how this person treated me. And I stopped yesterday and I said, God, I don't like him. And God said, no, you don't dislike him. You don't like the way he treated you. But you don't understand because you don't know him. You haven't even had a conversation with him. You don't understand why he was treated that way. And so in retaliation, even though we never had a conversation, even though I never cussed him out or said a word to him, in retaliation, you don't like him now. And in retaliation, every time you think of him, you think about, if I ever see him again, then, you know, I'm going to be to him the way he was to me. No. God, I want to be free. And then I want to see how love would have responded to that. And I want you to teach me how love should respond to that. And if love says, go up and hug them, I will. If love says, nope, stay away from them. But still, I don't want you bitter. And I don't want you carrying a sense in you that you have a responsibility to return evil for evil. Or even good for evil. And I want to get to my scripture, but I really want to paint this picture. You don't want to return evil for evil. You listening to me? But you also don't want to return good for evil in the sense that it's out of your flesh, that God is not leading you to do it. Your good for evil might be just to be peaceful. But when I see him again, I'm just going to hug him and just show him the love of the Lord. Did God tell you to do that? Or are you trying to really be super Christian right now? Because then you're still not in the will of God. Am I speaking to somebody? There's a time that God will say to you, just keep your space. You stay in peace, but I don't have to see him and run up to him and hug him and Jesus love you and all that. Listen, make matters worse. I might see him again and just say hi and nod my head. And he may walk over with a whole different spirit and don't even know why he acted that way. But I should not, and you should not, and we should not be a prisoner to other people in terms of trying to be extra nice to them or extra nasty to them. What we need to be is extra God inside, and then let that show itself the way it will. Am I helping you? Go back with me to John chapter 14, and let's talk about this a little bit more now in light of Jesus' teaching and what he was saying to his disciples. Now, if you remember the beginning of 13, he started by telling them to love one another. You know, he started by telling them that he wants them to have love for one another, and he wants them to walk in this love. A new commandment I give you, said in verse 34. Said that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is in 13, verse 34. So you too should love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, if you keep on showing love amongst yourself. So he started there, you know, and if you go back to the beginning of this message, you'll see that, telling them that this is the new commandment I'm giving you. Love one another. Not as the world loves one another, not trying to behave toward one another, not acting so-called Christian nice to somebody. You know, I used to hear that saying all the time, just to make me laugh. And that was the feeling of, well, I'm going to be Christian nice to you, or I don't really like you. I'm seeing that the action of love and that function that he's called them to was, I need you guys to show the world that you're mine by the way you love one another. I've been in church for a long time. That has not been the message or the foundational message of the church. It has not been. I don't even know if it's a dramatic push in the church. Is it just me? I haven't seen that. I know I take responsibility myself. I don't think that that's been my overall push, that, you know, you love one another. I mean, I came up in the era, different people come from different eras. I came up in the era where God wants you blessed. Here's the things you need to do and say, how you need to behave yourself if you want blessings and God's goodness and gifts and things to come to you, you know. And it was good to, you know, grow up in an era where, you know, where people was hearing all their life, God wants you in pain and God wants you to suffer and God want to put diseases on you to teach you something. It was good that I came up in an era where it was like, no, God's a good God. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to kill you, and he wants you blessed. And I don't regret any of that. But I'm starting to come to another realization, I guess, as I'm getting older, because you can only have so many things before things don't make you happy anymore. And I'm not saying I'm depressed or sad or anything, I'm saying, but I'm at the point now, I'm here in Florida and I'm around people and they have their Lamborghinis and they have, you know, their Maseratis and they have all these kind of things and their Bentleys. And I remember a time I would be around that and I'd be like, yeah, one day I'll get me one of these. I just, Jesus' name, I'm gonna go lay my hand on that car. I'm claiming that car. And then I'm like, it's a car. It's a car. I put up right beside with my Ford Flex and I feel just as comfortable getting out my car as they do getting out their car. And I don't have to worry about a $10,000 oil change. You know what I'm saying? For me, it gets to a point that, well, God, if you want to bless me with it, it's fine, but it's not something that I pursue. It's not something that means anything to me. Doesn't matter. It's a thing. It's a thing. And no matter how many wonderful things God has blessed me with, every new thing becomes an old thing. After you had it a while, it doesn't excite you like it used to. It don't make, I remember, I believe when I got my first BMW, oh my God, once I got that, I would ask Jesus for nothing else in life. And after driving it a while, I think somebody broke the mirror and they wanted $900 to put the mirror back. I was like, okay. This makes absolutely no, what do you mean? What do you mean? $250 to change the oil. The other car I got to change for $35. What are you talking about? You know, it's just right away. And okay, yeah, I had the money to pay, but my mind was like, this is ridiculous. You're charging me a luxury fee. I don't care about the stuff. I don't care about the stuff. Here's what I care about. Peace of mind and peace in my spirit. I want to know that I have peace of mind and peace of spirit. There's only one way to have peace of mind and peace of spirit, and that's to have peace before God, first and foremost. But listen to what I'm about to say and hear me closely. Peace of mind and peace of spirit only comes when you're walking in the love of God. So I explained the week before or weeks before that the love one another. And you can't love one another unless you know that you love yourself. And you can't love yourself, which is what I covered last week, unless you know God loves you. So there's the train. You have to first know that God loves you. Then when you know God loves you, then you can find it in you to love yourself. And then once you find it in you love yourself because you know you love by God, then it's very easy and not a struggle or a trial at all to love somebody else. Because when you are loved, listen to me, when you are loved, then you are loved. And when you are loved, then you give love. Somebody need to write that down. And so I'm learning to love, and I'm around my people, my partners, and they're telling me, wow, you're so much calmer. You're so much more easygoing about things. You would have flipped before. And I'm like, love feels better. Love feels better than flipping and making sure you heard what I had to say. And I feel like you disrespected me and all those kind of, I'm getting better because I'm coming to reality. Not that I'm learning how to behave better when you say things I don't like. Not that I'm learning to not say nothing when you annoy me. And not that I'm going to be nice to you. No. I'm learning that I'm loved. And because I'm loved, then I am love. Because I am loved by love. Saying some simple stuff or some deep stuff. God is love. And if I'm loved by him who is love, so he's not showing me love. He's showing me him. That's why Jesus said, "Who has seen me has seen the Father," because he said, "I am God is love." And so I'm learning that I am loved by love, which makes me then, if I receive that, the product of love. And then it's nothing enough for me to do then, but to just live out of who I am or who I've become in him. So go back to my old point, then we move on. Am I getting too deep here? Are we okay? Let me see you wave a hand at me or something. Show me if I'm letting you know if I'm not losing anybody. Everybody's good. I know I mentioned some real philosophical stuff right here, but this is where I am right now. You choose to tune in, so you're just gonna have to walk with me. Okay. I love God now in the way that I didn't understand what love God was before. It's not hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. It's no, I submit to your love, and then I act out of your love, and I show your love by being your love and demonstrating your love. And that shows me I love you. How can you say that? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus said it. If you love me, I can hear you. Keep my commandments. Well, how do you keep his commandments apart from him? You can't keep his commandments apart from him. He has to work in you, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So it's not possible to love outside of being loved. The lover of my soul has to have full control of my soul. And then what comes out of me is love. Got that? I hope you're taking some notes. I know Dr. Weiss, she takes her notes. Listen, you need to take some notes so y'all can go back over this stuff. Don't just hear me. I see your pen, sis. Let me know this. Listen, don't let me be preaching at you. Write this stuff down. I'm giving you life lessons. Take note of this stuff. This stuff is good. If you got a great memory and you don't need to write it, then amen. God bless you. So here we go. Back to 14 now. Going down to verse 15. If you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. I always took that as a challenge and a like a ridicule, but I see a difference. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, and strengthener, and standby that he will remain with you forever. So he said, here's what you do. If you love me, really love me, you'll keep my commandment. Well, what's the commandment? He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. We talked about this last week. He just said it. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. So that's the commandment. Now, how do you love one another? I walked you through that already. I won't do it again. And you have to go before God and be loved before you can love. And then he said, and if you really love me, if you get to that place where you receive that you're really loved by me, and then you can love out of the love that I give to you. Because see, God wants a reciprocal love, right? Now, saints, listen to what I'm about to say right now before I say what I'm going to say. What I'm about to say is simple, but it's deep, really, really deep. And I know sometime before I say it that it's deep. Listen to me. God wants the love he gives reciprocated. He wants us to love one another. That means he wants a love that's reciprocated, correct? He wants you to love one another. He wants you to love your brother and sister, and he wants them to love you back. Not a little less. You know, exactly the same, correct? Watch this. How many of you can really reciprocate God's love back to him? Not possible. And by the way, your mind went, Exactly. That's the point. The only way to reciprocate God's love is you have to have it in you to give it back. You can't do that out of your human being. You can't do that out of your human emotions. Crying real hard at prayer time while the soft music is playing. Oh, Jesus, I love you. That's human love, and that's cute. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a love God, you love so much that you give. God so loved the world that he gave, that he gave, that he gave, that he gave, that you just keep giving yourself to God. But you keep giving yourself to God because he first keeps giving himself to you. So all you're doing is you're giving back to him what he's giving you. That's reciprocal. You can't give him human love. You got to give him back the love he gives you. He shows you compassion and mercy, and you show that right back. And then it comes from him, in you, in him, through him, and to him are all things, right? So in him, through him, back to him. Through you, back to him. That's how God moves. So God's like saying, I don't want your stinking love. All your righteousness is as a filthy rag. I'm quoting scripture here. I'm trying to let you know I'm not just winging some message off the top of my head. All right? All your righteousness is as a filthy rag. There's nothing you can do that's good enough. Just forget it. It's not going to happen. What God likes is when you give back to him what he's given to you. What's the best way to pray? Isn't it praying his word? Not praying your emotions, not praying your feelings, but quoting his word back. His angels hearken unto his word to perform it. What does it do? What are you doing? You're learning that word. You're receiving that word in your spirit, and you're giving it back to him, reciprocating. You're reciprocating back to God the word he gave to you. You gave it back. It's the same thing with the love. Oh, I know I'm going somewhere, but you're just going to have to walk with me on this. He gives you his love. And then you reciprocate back to him his love. Or your apologies, I'm so sorry, God. It's like nobody wants to hear all of that, okay? I'm not pitiful, and your pitiful tears is not moving me. Give me back what I've given to you. And then with the day God come to you crying, saying, I'm so sorry, and I'm so dirty, and I'm so filthy, then you could give that back. But for now, that's not what he does. And so he doesn't want that crap from you. That's not the repentance that he's looking for. The repentance is to turn away from what you were to what he's called you to be. And what he's called you to be can only be done through him, which means you receive what he's told you. You receive what he's called you. You receive what he's given to you. And then out of your spirit, out of a full spirit, oh, Jesus, out of a full spirit of what he's given to you, then you reciprocate back to him what he's given you. I just want to lay this on the floor right here. And this is a very, very touchy thing for me, but listen, spend less time trying to figure out how to love people. Spend more time figuring out how to reciprocate the love back to God, practicing the love that he's given you. Man, he's giving you the best dance partner in the world to work with, practice with. Practice with the Holy Spirit himself. Practice with God himself and receive his love for you and just spend time reciprocating that with him. Now when you walk out to the world, now when you get out amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, you are already filled to the brim with who God is, and you're just giving it back. And it's just so much easier to give that love back when it comes like that. You understand what I'm saying? I am no longer practicing on how to get along with and love people. I'm practicing on how to reciprocate God's love back to God. And let it remake me. You know that scripture says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Well, good communication makes good manners. So let me just hang out with him and communicate with him. Now, I'm not saying that I have this thing. I'm not saying I've achieved it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, I press forward to the mark of the high calling. I don't have this yet, but I know I need it. And so I'm crying out for it and I'm reaching on it. God, let me love you. Let me love you like you. Let me know that you love me. Let me love you back with the love you give me and teach me how to live out of that love that when I hit the world, it'll just spill out of me. It is who I am. Can't help but to be that. And I shared last week, some of you have been around me, you're bolder, you talk back to people now when they try to, you know, bully you because you've been around me and some of you were very, very quiet and laid back. And now I see you, y'all say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And that's because you've learned that. You've learned, no, I don't have to be bullied by anybody around me. Well, I want to be around God's love so much that I want that to just pour out of me. So that's how you keep his commandment. You love him by receiving love from him to give back to him. I could wrap up the message right there, but I just want to finish up this line because this is important. He said, and if you do that, I will ask the Father and he will give you a comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. And we're going to wrap this message up on that verse right there, right there. We're going no further than that. He says, if you love me, let me love you. My commandments will be kept. You will love them as your neighbors yourself. And of course, all the other commandments will be kept because he already said that. He said it before. It's all fulfilled in these two. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing these two things, you kept the whole law. Jesus said that. So all of this ties. Are you seeing this? So he's saying, just get that. Get that love thing straight. You don't have to worry about, well, I don't want to steal and I don't want to kill and I don't want to murder. Well, you don't want to kill, steal, murder, and covet. If God's loving you and you know you're loved by God and you love God back because he's giving you love and now you have love to give, who's going to want to kill somebody? Who's going to want to murder or steal from somebody if that love is in you? That's what he's saying. I don't have to tell you not to kill. I have to tell you not to murder. I don't have to tell you not to steal. I don't have to tell you not to rob. I don't have to tell you not to lie and cheat. And no, I have to tell you adultery and this and that because we got a love situation going. Well, and if you commit to that, I'm going to ask God and he's going to give you another comforter. So I need to make sure you understand this. Jesus is our comfort. That time with God, receiving his love and giving it back, it's comfort. It's our comforter. But if you play along with that, there's bonuses. It's a bonus round. I'm going to give you another comforter. See, help me, Jesus. I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm not going to even let you try to have to walk through this on your own. You already got God now. You already got his love. You already loved by him. You know you loved. You have love back. You're sharing his love. You're giving his love. And now, because you're doing that, I'm not going to leave you alone. Before I say anything else, I want you to make sure you understand that this verse starts with, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because you obey these rules, and so I'm going to give you another comforter. You don't have to be troubled. I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm gonna give you a counselor to help you when, if you have to deal with, and when you have to deal with the world and the world's mess, because it keeps happening, even though you have God and you have his love and you love him and he loves you. The world keeps going on the way it is and people keep going on being evil. But he said, don't worry about that. You got me now as comfort, but now Jesus said, I'm gonna give you another comforter. And now he's gonna be your counselor. And he's gonna be your helper. And he's gonna be your intercessor. People say, I just pray for God to have intercessors for me. Well, Jesus just told me if I do this, he's going to give me an intercessor. Well, let me tell you something. I'll take his over any of yours. Thank you for all your prayers, but I'll take the one Jesus has for me over you, hands down. An advocate. Advocate is the person who's going to stand by me in my trouble. They're going to have my back. They're going to be my lawyer. They're going to be my legal representation. My strengthener, you're going to give me strength when my flesh feels weak and I feel tired, and a standby, somebody to step in. I love the standby thing. Esther, you probably get an understanding of this. I look at it as God saying, he's going to give me a swing. When I can't go on, he's going to have somebody there ready to go for me and cover up for me and do my part. I'm going to have a stand in. And when I can't do it, he's going to step in for me and he's going to carry me through the other side. When I can't walk, he's going to do the walk. When I can't dance, he's going to do the dance. When I can't sing the praise the way I need to, that other comforter, he's going to stand by. He's going to be ready to go for me. He's going to be free. He ain't taking no sick days. He's going to be right there to stand for me. He said, wow, who is that? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom you cannot receive or welcome. Listen, that the world cannot receive or welcome into his heart. So I'm giving you something and a tool to fight and to stand and believe and to be strong that the world can't relate to. Stop looking for the world to comfort you. Stop looking for things to comfort you. And that's why I think the thing about the cars and stuff don't affect me anymore. It's like, I don't find comfort in a vehicle. I don't find comfort in more stuff. And God just keep blessing me with it. And I don't need it. And the more I don't need it, the more he keep blessing me with it. See, I don't find comfort in stuff. I don't find what's in it for me? What you going to do for me? Or, you know, I don't need it. I'm good. I don't need people to love on me and tell me they love me. It's nice and I appreciate it and I love you back. But I'm at the place right now, if none of you don't ever say I love you again, trust me, bro, going to be all right because I'm seeking this love right here. And this love right here, if you don't want to love me, God don't give me somebody to love me. And I'm just watching the doors open and the people that God just keeps sending me. I even know him calling me up and reaching out. And I want to do a news interview with you. And I want to put you in an article. And the magazine just came out, Man of Influence in Lehigh Valley. I'm like, what I did in Lehigh Valley? I don't know nobody out here that I thought I influenced. Who am I influencing? But listen, that's dad's thing, right? Just keep loving me. We got an interview coming up. I forgot the name of it, but one of these big shows they have on PBS over here. And they come in here to my office and they want to interview and talk about, again, it's like, this is stuff people who plan to spend money on go seeking with all their heart. And then I'm just getting a phone call. We want you. And I said, God, this is all a result of me just seeking your love, isn't it? She's loving you, right? He said, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't seek men. Don't seek stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and I will send you another comforter. You didn't know I was going there, right? All these things will be added. You'll want it. Screw the things. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I will send you another comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to be your strength. He's going to be your standby. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be your counselor. He's going to be your direction. He's going to be your friend. He's going to hold you up. He's going to fill in when you can't fill in. Just seek ye first me, my kingdom, my love. Let me step in here and watch what I do on your behalf. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, welcome, or take into its heart because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him because he lives in you and is constantly within you. The world can't see him. The world can't relate to him because they don't know him. They don't recognize him. But you folk do. You say you're born again. You may not be walking with him like you should. You don't got to get off of this service and go try to seek him. He says you know him. He lives in you. You have him already. You may not be using it, but you have it already. You may not turn on the lights in your house, but you got lights. You know, all you got to do is flick the switch. It's there. You got the power. It's there. Just because you're not using it, though, you can choose to live in the darkness for the rest of your life and close all the curtains and everything and walk around tripping over furniture. The bottom line is you don't have to. You have the light. You just need to turn it on. If nothing else, go open the doggone curtains. He's saying you know him. The world can't see him, but you can. You have him. The fact that you're not utilizing them, well, that may be a problem, but you do have them. You do have them. You do know them. You do recognize them. Utilize them. How do you utilize them? Power is over fear. Fear is made to tell you what you can't do and what you can't become and what you can't achieve. That's how fear works. Power comes to tell you that you are limitless. You can do all things through Christ, through the anointing one and his anointing who strengthens you. But you have to do it through his anointing. Well, I just unleashed the secret key that I just begin to really see, and that is knowing that he loves you first. I can't walk in God's power if I don't know God wants me to have it. I can't have my needs met if I don't really believe that God wants that, that he wants me to be better at this first and do this that first and say a little bit less of this and not so much of that. And, you know, God can't really love me because, you know, I didn't take care of my teeth and, you know, all kind of stupid stuff we come up with. And God's like, listen, we can get past all of that if you first know that my power is over the fears. You don't need to walk in fear. And I'm asking you to stop asking God to bless you by taking away fears. Just surrender to his love. Perfect love casts out fear. I don't pray about fear anymore. I pray about God's love. Pray about how to walk in his love. Show me how, not toward other people. Stop. Not toward other people, because that's what I've been trying to do in the past. I just want to learn to walk in love. It's going to be nice to people, even if they don't deserve it. That I'm not talking about that. That's some earthly mess. I'm talking about walking in love with God and knowing that God loves me. And once I know he loves me and I can walk in that love with him, I'm free now to give that love to anybody else. You can't give what you don't have. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't like yourself. It just doesn't work. So when I see people going through stuff, and I see people going through depression, I see people going through fear and anxiety or something, I've been through all of it. God always has to say to me, but if you knew I loved you, you won't go through all of that because you would know I don't want you to. You're trying to get me to beg me to help you not go through it instead of just receiving my love, and then you would know. If that ain't want what I want for you, you don't want that for your kids. God loves us. I don't really 100% understand the depth of that. But I'm on the road. I want to know. And I want to know that love to the point that I become that love, and that love comes out of me without me trying. And that's what I'm asking of you in Jesus' name before the Father today. Stop trying to be something. Just be his. Let him be yours. And in that, all the rest of this stuff will turn around. Father God, I just come before you with your people today in prayer, asking you to help us know your love. Not help us behave. Help us know your love. Help us know how much you love us. Help us know how much you care. Help us, Father, see ourselves the way you see us. And if we see ourselves the way you see us, you assured me, we will reciprocate that love back to you, and the world will automatically see your love on us. From this day forward, we give up and we surrender and we lay down the battle of trying to be good Christians. There's none good, no, not one. It's only you. And so we just say, help us know your love, walk in your love, and let your power Let your power be over fear in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you turn off the recording, that concludes this part of this message. Power over fear is now completed. Still more steps to walking in love, and we're going to pick up on more. But for today, for this season, seek God's love above all things else at this season and time. You want some real breakthroughs in this season? Seek God's love. Ask God to teach you how much he loves you in this season and time. And then once you know that, you'll start to respond out of that. In Jesus' name, amen.